Amen. At this time, please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ruth, chapter 4. This morning we'll be looking at verses 11 through 22. So Christmas is only a couple days away now, and today we are going to finish up our Advent series on the book of Ruth. And I hope you've enjoyed this series as much as I have, as we've looked really deep into the Old Testament story of Ruth and found the reflection of the Christmas story staring back up at us. By way of review, in week one, we saw that Ruth is the story of a young woman who made a radical commitment of faith to God and then journeyed to Bethlehem, where she gave birth to a child who would change the world. That's the story of Ruth. Well, you look at that, you say, well, that's also the Christmas story, isn't it? And then in week two, we looked at Boaz, and we saw how Ruth is the story of a righteous man who offered kindness, protection, and provision to a young woman in her time of need. And we said, well, wait a second, isn't that Joseph in the Christmas story? Yes, it is. And then last week, week three, we saw that Ruth is the story of a kinsman redeemer who redeemed his beloved from a desperate situation at great cost to himself. We say, okay, well, that's Ruth, but that's Christmas, isn't it? A Savior was born for us. And then finally, this week, as we finish up the book of Ruth, today we're going to see that the book of Ruth is also the story of a child in the line of Judah who was born as a redeemer in fulfillment of the prophecies leading up to Messiah. And that is most definitely a description of Jesus in the Christmas story as well. So once again, we're going to be looking at a number of verses in Ruth this morning, but we're going to begin simply by reading chapter 4, verse 13. So please stand together at this time for the reading of God's word. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. This is the word of God. Father, I pray that you would speak to us now through these final verses in the book of Ruth. Lord, may we marvel at your plan, set in motion so many centuries even before Christ was born. Your plan for a Messiah to come and to be a Savior for all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So, let's just briefly review where we've been. In Ruth chapter 1, Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, left Bethlehem, moved to Moab with her husband and her two sons. And there in Moab, her husband died, and then both of her sons died. 10 years later, she returned to Bethlehem with her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And when the townspeople recognized her, they exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" Do you remember Naomi's words? She said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." That's what the word Mara meant, bitter. "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." And so when we first began the book of Ruth, the story begins with the emptying of Naomi. But through the remaining chapters, we have seen the Lord slowly but surely restoring Naomi. First, her daughter-in-law, Ruth, came back to Bethlehem with her. That was amazing in itself. Next, the Lord worked the various circumstances to bring Ruth and Boaz together. And Boaz was a close relative of Naomi's deceased husband. That made him a kinsman redeemer, someone who could marry into the family and carry on the family line. And then we saw how Ruth and Boaz fell in love. And when we left the story last week, Boaz had just cleared the final legal hurdle that had stood in the way of him marrying Ruth and redeeming Naomi's family. And so we go, wow, this is wonderful. It's all coming together. But there is still one thing missing, because this story will not be complete unless Ruth bears Boaz a son to carry on the family name. And so the big question remains, will Ruth have a son? Can she even bear children? Remember, she was married before for almost 10 years and never had any children then. What if Ruth is barren? Well, there have been a number of surprises in the story along the way, but the writer has left the biggest surprise of all to the end. But we have to work through just a few more things before we get there. So let's pick up the story in verse 11. Boaz has just declared himself the legal redeemer of Naomi's family, and now the elders and all those at the town gate, they respond as witnesses. We're going to see two things in their response. There is a prayer for a blessed future, and there is the reminder of a scandalous past. First, let's take a look at the blessed future they pray for Boaz and Ruth. Look at verse 11. Then the elders and all those at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. And may you," speaking to Boaz here, "may you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem." So the people pray for two things here. First of all, they pray that the Lord would make Ruth like Rachel and Leah. And this is a prayer for great fruitfulness in her marriage. Rachel and Leah were Jacob's wives who, well, along with their handmaidens, gave birth to the 12 tribes of Israel. And so together they built up the house of Israel. An entire nation came from them. Now the townspeople pray that Ruth would do the same, but all by herself. And secondly, they pray that Boaz would have standing in Ephrathah, that he would be famous in Bethlehem. Ephrathah is just another name for Bethlehem. And so they are praying that Boaz's name will always be known in this town. Tiny town, small town of Bethlehem. Oh, little town, you know the song. But that he would always be famous in this town. Well, God answered these prayers of the people in ways that were far beyond what they ever could have thought or imagined. Because Ruth would indeed give birth to a child, and one of that child's descendants, our Lord Jesus, would form a new Israel. He would form a new people of God, drawing from every tribe, language, people, and nation in the world. And Boaz would not only be famous in Bethlehem, they still know about him in Bethlehem. That part was answered. But he would be famous the whole world over. He would even, get this, he would even be talked about in Plantation, Florida, during the 2013 Advent season, right here at Plantation Community Church. Now, who could have foreseen that at the time? And so the people prayed for a blessed future for Boaz and Ruth. However, their words also brought back reminders of a scandalous past. Look at verse 12. "Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So this is also a prayer for fruitfulness, as Judah's son Perez became a great and numerous people. But with the mention of Tamar, there is also the reminder of scandal. We don't have time to go there this morning, but we read about Tamar's story in Genesis chapter 38. She married one of Judah's sons, but her husband died before she had any children. Does that remind you of anyone? That's Ruth's story, isn't it? Judah had two other sons who could have acted as kinsmen redeemers for her. But the first one refused, and then he died. And then Judah, tired, I guess, of losing all of his sons, prevented the third one from being the kinsman redeemer. And so Tamar took matters into her own hands. It was not the right way to go about it. She disguised herself as a prostitute. She met Judah by the side of the road, and she became pregnant by Judah, her own father-in-law. She gave birth to twin boys, the most famous of which became Perez. So there is scandal in the line of Judah. And yet there's also great promise in the line of Judah. Because one of the early prophecies in Scripture predicted that the Messiah, the Christ, would come through the line of Judah. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10 says, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs. And the obedience of the nations is his." Boaz is in the line of Judah. He's descended from Tamar and Perez. And so his child would be a child of promise. He would be a child with a blessed future, but also with a scandalous past. So that's the first thing we learn about this son to be born to Ruth and Boaz. He was born in the line of Judah. Very important. Secondly, we learn that he was born as a redeemer. We see this in verses 13 through 17. Look at verse 13. Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Now, we're not told specifically here that Ruth was barren. But we do know two things. We know that she was unable to bear children before. And now we learn that the Lord was involved in a special way in the birth of this child. Verse 13 says that the Lord enabled her to conceive. And so just as in the Christmas story, we have a miraculous conception here in the book of Ruth. But I want you to notice the difference from the Christmas story, though. If you put Ruth 4 next to Matthew chapter 1 side by side, take a look at this. Ruth 4:13, Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. Then he went to her and the Lord enabled her to conceive and she gave birth to a son. In the Christmas story, Matthew 1, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. Do you see the similarity in the wording? But there's one big difference. Boaz went to Ruth, and then the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Joseph had no union with Mary until after she gave birth to a son. And so the Lord enabled Ruth to conceive with Boaz, but the Lord enabled Mary to conceive as a virgin without any help from a husband. Now that is truly a miraculous conception. Not only was there a miraculous conception, but this child born to Ruth and Boaz was born as a child redeemer. We see this in verses 14 and 15. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer." And when you first read those words, you think they're talking about Boaz, but look what they say. "May he become famous throughout Israel, and he will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons has given him birth." And so even though Boaz had already fulfilled the role as kinsman redeemer for the family, notice that this child is also considered a kinsman redeemer for Naomi. He is the child who will renew her life and sustain her in her old age. And also notice their prayer for the child. The elders had prayed for Boaz that he would become famous in Bethlehem. Now the women pray over this baby that he'll become famous throughout all of Israel. And then look at how Ruth is praised in the highest terms. She is described as the one who loves Naomi and that she is better to Naomi than seven sons. And so the expectations are set sky high for this child born in the line of Judah, born as a child redeemer. Something special is going to happen through this baby. And then in verses 16 through 17, we have probably one of the most touching verses in the whole book of Ruth. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son." And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Naomi has a son. Naomi, who returned to Bethlehem empty. "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. The Lord has made my life bitter. I left Bethlehem full. I came back empty." Naomi is now fulfilled as she cradles the baby, Obed, on her lap and takes care of him. She is no longer Mara. She is Naomi. And God has restored her. So Naomi has a son born in the line of Judah, born as a child redeemer. But did you notice that last sentence in verse 17? This is the naming of the child. Obed was the father of Jesse, the father of David. You know, it just slips out so quietly, so casually, you might not even notice it at first. But folks, this is the big surprise. This is the big reveal. This is the reason why this story is in our Bible to begin with. Obed, the son of Boaz and Ruth, is none other than the grandfather of King David. And so Ruth is not only a story about a child who is born as a redeemer in the line of Judah, it is also a story about the birth of a king. And just in case we missed it in verse 17, the story now ends with the extended genealogy of David, verses 18 through 22. And where does the genealogy start? It starts with none other than Perez, son of Judah. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab the father of Nashon. Nashon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse the father of David. The last word in the book of Ruth is David. Isn't it interesting? This whole book began with the phrase, in the days of the judges. In the days of the judges when there was no king. And now the story ends with the name David, the first true king of Israel. You see, that's the rest of the story. That's the rest of the story that Boaz and Ruth never even knew about in their lifetime. They're living through these events and they had no idea of the meaning and the significance of what had just taken place. But the writer of Ruth knew. And they passed that wonderful extra meaning on to us. You know what? There's an even bigger rest of the story that even the writer of Ruth did not know at the time. And that's because the genealogy of Boaz and David is also the genealogy of Christ. You know, even if you've never read the book of Ruth before, even if you've never seen verses 18 through 22, as I read through that and you looked at it, you might have said, that looks familiar to me. I've seen that someplace before. Where have I seen that list of names like that? Well, that's because it is part of Jesus' genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. So we turn over to Matthew chapter 1 now, verses 3 through 6. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. It's the same genealogy, except the women are mentioned, aren't they? And the mothers along the way. And so you have this genealogy of Christ, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Jesus is the child born in the line of Judah, who has a blessed future and a scandalous past. Jesus was not ashamed to identify with sinful humanity, for he would take our sins upon himself. He is the child with the miraculous conception who is born as a blessed redeemer for all who would believe in him. He is the son of David. He is the true king of Israel. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And so the book of Ruth really is a Christmas story. It's the story of a young woman who made that radical faith commitment to God and then traveled to Bethlehem where she gave birth to a child who would indeed change the world. It's the story of a righteous man who offered kindness, protection, and provision to a young woman in her time of need. It's the story of a kinsman redeemer who redeemed his beloved from a desperate situation at great cost to himself. And it is the story of a child in the line of Judah who is born as a redeemer in fulfillment of the prophecies leading up to Messiah. You know, as the angel told the shepherds that first Christmas Eve, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. People, that is the story of Ruth. And that is the story of Christmas. Jesus Christ, the Savior, is born. And He is our Messiah, Redeemer, and King. Let us pray. Father God, You are sovereign over all of history. Your plan went forward throughout the ages, quietly, beneath the surface. Lord, even those participating in Your plan did not always know that they were a part of something so much bigger. Lord, I thank You that we also are part of a plan. Lord, You are fulfilling Your good purposes through us. Lord, we may have no idea what You are doing through the kind word we speak to a person at the checkout counter, through the Christmas card we give someone which has a Bible verse on it, through the prayers for our friends and neighbors and co-workers and family members. Lord, I'm excited today because we are part of something so much bigger than ourselves. Lord, we are part of the Christmas story. For Jesus is our Savior. He was born for us. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the King.